Welcome to Under the Bus Podcast. I'm Clayton. We've got a freaking huge roundtable tonight. Alan is joining us, and he is in Bosnia, where apparently literally anything goes.
Allegedly. I'm not confirming nor denying anything here, Clayton.
That's smart. That's very smart. Then we got Merge here. How you doing, Merge?
I am tired, but excited to the podcast.
Don't come at me with the tired bullshit.
I'm tired. No. I'm tired. Then we got
I've been
Nelson.
Throwing trash the whole day, okay? Cut me some slack.
Nelson has big news.
Yeah, I got a job at a law firm, so I'm moving up in the world now.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Wow, we add another one to the DM.
I know. Look at that. Then also we've got the degenerate of Lakers Twitter, Nas. How you doing?
I resent that.
It's accurate.
Oh, JD, Jesus. Right, yeah.
I just tweet for the ex-cons. I don't care, dude.
That's the pocket that you thrive in. So you're
business is booming.
Business is booming. And then we have the saint of the group, Mr. Big Swole himself, has returned. Raj, Mr. Unwritten Rules, he is back. How are you doing, Raj?
Doing well. No more unwritten rules. So that was a past life. That was a past guy. All his crimes are forgiven now. So I've changed my name.
Are they?
We still see you liking all them photos, Raj.
Oh, those are all stopped. All that is done.
He has bookmarks.
Don't worry about that, guys.
Yeah. Oh, he's bookmarking everything, guys.
But big
COVID was a tough time, guys. COVID was a tough time.
Oh man. All right, so a lot has gone on since we last potted. Man, I think it was literally like what, March, or was it around the trade deadline?
Frank might have still been the coach.
Oh,
Frank was still the coach.
that it's been a while. It's been a while, but we've been egging to get onto it. But we're going to start off with, obviously, the Lakers have hired Darvin Ham. That was, what, like 2 weeks ago at this point, which I think we all liked that hiring. We all kind of talked about it, thought it was not going to happen, though. So
he was pretty much our, if it's not going to be Nurse or Snyder, he was like our first choice, I think, essentially.
Correct. So we're all very happy with that. We have some mentions of who he has hired onto staff, but Nas, real quick, you want to get into something?
Yeah, it's just funny how like the Lakers, like I've been saying this for the past couple of months, right? Like it's just funny how they always fail forward because they wanted Doc Rivers. They really did. All right. And then like they waited for him to come out, but then the Sixers decided to do us a favor and keep him. You know, because Morey thinks he's smarter than everybody, or maybe it's not even Morey. It's like the ownership, whatever, right? But either way, I'm happy. I appreciate the Sixers for doing that. You know, because honestly, if they got Doc Rivers, I'd probably quit being a fan of this team. I swear to God, I'm not even kidding.
Oh, this pod would not be happening.
No, yeah. Nope. I would quit, dude. No. I would definitely.
People would be continuing to message us. Hey, where's the pod? Doc Rivers is the coach. There's nothing to fucking pod about.
We don't like basketball here.
This is now officially in anything else but Lakers podcast. So yeah,
it's a pop culture pod.
Yeah. Where we talk about shitty EDM albums dropped by Drake.
There it is.
That's why Raj has been MIA for the past couple of days, man.
Raj has been ducking us for a few weeks now.
He has.
Yeah, but like, he was preparing for this moment, you know what I mean? And then, God, dude.
We have some news of who they've hired. Phil Handy stays on staff, thank God
for that.
His first name is Chris, right? Chris Gent, I believe.
Yeah.
Gent is a former coach with the Atlanta Hawks when Darvin Ham was there. Apparently an incredibly good shooting coach as well. John Collins was a shit shooter at Wake Forest, and now he's a 38% career three-point shooter, which is fantastic.
He was 40% last year, and he was 39% 40% plus.
40.
Yeah. So yeah, no, fantastic job. And then they just hired the white guy that helped Giannis a lot, Schuler Rimmer. Man, I can't wait to make fun of that name at a later date.
Isn't his name pronounced Skyla?
I don't know. Who cares?
Wow.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
We do this shit all the time. It's fine. Then
you American.
Possibly rumored. Yeah. I'm awful. What can I say? Rasheed Wallace is rumored. I don't know exactly how I feel about that one, to be 100% honest.
Depends on his standing in terms of like hierarchy.
Yeah.
It depends on coaching staff.
I loved Rasheed as a player, but as a coach, apparently smoking allegedly with players at the University of Memphis, along with just
legalized.
Yeah. And then, well, we don't want to get into pot stories. And then just his not wanting to get the shot, which you're going to have to get that if you work for the Lakers.
He also called Russell Westbrook the best player in the world, too. So.
Yeah. And then Jordan Ott, he was also rumored. I don't know if he was officially hired yet. I can't remember exactly anything about him off the top of my head. But
where is he coming from?
He's coming from the Nets. He was basically he ran
the offense. Oh, that was him? I thought that was Gent. Yeah.
No.
Offense. Yeah, the other guy.
Yeah.
Okay. The other guy. The person today. Like, Jordan Ott ran the offense for the past couple of years. Like, he's been there since Kenny Atkinson was the coach. Mm-hmm. There's people who have mixed feelings about him, like, because the Nets offense wasn't great this year. Wow. Like, in terms of, like, it was a lot of ISOs. But last year, it was
look at who your two best players are.
Yeah, I'm getting there, guys. Yeah. Calm down. All right. So anyway, last year they were like on their way to like becoming like the greatest offense in NBA history. You know, because like Harden was there to playmake and stuff. But then now you got like dueling banjo guys in KD and Kyrie. Where like you just all right, here's the ball. All right, you score. All right, here's the ball. I score. All right, so I can't really blame it on Jen. I think there's a lot of personnel and like just the way to like a style of play.
Yeah, and I remember the Atkinson D'Angelo Nets. If I remember correctly, they were a pretty highly touted offensive team.
D'Angelo, right. Along with
and it's another Allen connection and there because Kenny Atkinson and Davin Hall are really close.
Yeah.
Well, you guys know more of the details of the assistants, but it's just cool to see Ham get to pick his own assistants, right? Something Vogel didn't have, and I think that that allows him to build a culture in a way that the previous staff just wasn't able to. So being able to let Ham pick his own assistants is cool. You guys know more of the details on the assistants, but it's cool to see him at least get his own staff.
Sure, no.
Yeah, and also if you heard. Ham's interview with Rich Eisen, was straightforward with him, like with the questions, right? He was like not sure to put any of these questions, and he asked him like, "Is the front office going to be in the coaches' meetings?" And he said, "Look, I'm really big on communication. Mm-hmm. I prefer that I talk to the front office like individually instead of them being there and sort of like taking things out of context when we're just having a brainstorming session. So they're not gonna be there in the meetings anymore to like interrupt and be like, all right, no, this is what you're gonna do. I'm like, yeah.
I watched those. Yeah, no, he's been quizzed pretty good. He's also a big fan of Nike, which I can appreciate.
Yep.
Shout out
He hates Adidas. Like can't stand those guys.
I can't stand them either.
Times in interviews.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I don't blame him at all.
Yeah. As Alan and Raji, you guys are more in tune in terms of like the actual X's and O's. For have you guys looked at the Bucks like offense and seen like where you can place AD and LeBron or just the Lakers in general into that sort of scheme? If Ham is bringing that over, even if it is a four out one in sort of spot situation.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, he's preached that four out, one in. I think like what happens with Westbrook definitely kind of defines what the roster will be and how he can run that. But yeah, that makes me interested if they're gonna go out and get like a stretch five to kind of put with him, to put with AD, or have just the big athletic big down there with him. But yeah, man, hopefully we run more pick and roll. Hopefully this year it's not just post ups. Giannis has put in like a bunch of different situations. He works out of the high post. He's able to get the ball and push it up the floor, which I think Ham is going to really push for AD to do. AD does a lot. He'll like get the rebound and like go look for a point guard or whatever. Like he can bring the ball up. He's not Giannis, but like he can do similar things. And Ham was kind of comparing the two as players. Giannis obviously has the more of the motor, but I think AD has the ball handling, the skills to kind of do similar things that Milwaukee does with Giannis. And AD has hopefully has a jump shot this year, and that'll decide a lot of the offense.
I agree with that. Giannis is being able to put AD in that type of role, I think, is going to be big, and that's kind of why I also think that we're not going to see another big on the floor with him most of the time. How you said, a stretch, I could definitely see that from time to time.
A Brook type, to compare to the Bucks.
A Brook. I mean, like Bielitsa is a free agent after. Golden State just won, so he could be a possible stretch big type guy, who he's solid on defense and whatnot, but he's not a guy you want obviously down low in the post. But letting AD kind of do it all, like, he has the talent to do it, let's freaking start using him. I think the thing that has me most excited is I've been saying the last three seasons the most unstoppable play in all of basketball is a LeBron James and Anthony Davis pick and roll. There's not really a way you can stop that, and they ran it, I swear to God, it
felt like 18 times.
18 times.
Even during the title season, they ran it a handful of times.
They ran it in the finals like twice, and I'm like, why don't you do this more?
Every time they run it, it worked.
Oh God, I mean, it was like off the charts efficient wise.
Because even if AD doesn't have a jumper, too, it is still the most dangerous play in basketball. You know?
Yeah. I mean, because you have LeBron James and a pterodactyl, so I mean, it's just ridiculous. But yeah, I can't wait to see that. I swear to God, I hope. And then just kind of have like some guys that can get down and dirty, not necessarily dirty players, but you know, being able to handle some of the
things. PJ Tucker.
Yeah, like a PJ Tucker, continuing to let Stanley do the dirty work and whatnot. So then AD doesn't have to take some of that, the beating and whatnot. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
We need role players who want to be role players, right? Like, you have, you know, Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, all these dudes who just don't want to be role players or they don't push to be role players. They don't thrive in that kind of role. So they still see themselves as stars, one-sided type of players. And if we can just get a few defenders out there this year, that'd be nice.
Yeah, that's why guys like Reeves and Wenyen Gabriel and Stanley Johnson, when they played with LeBron, we looked good. I mean, shocker, but like it needs to be more of that. And I'm sure we'll talk about that more when it comes to the roster construction.
Yeah,
if and when Russ is traded, but
yeah, I hope. Raj, you and Nas missed like an hour's worth of roster construction talk before we started.
We have a whole new team,
and it's fantastic.
We fixed the Lakers, guys.
We fixed the Lakers, and it's honestly things that have been rumored and are possible. And
if we had a competent front office, it would.
And that's the question:
is there a good team in that one? Is there a good team on that one in that roster?
There's a contender in that one.
Okay, yeah. Well, I guess we might as well get into it. The rumors of Russell Westbrook being traded, the trade that never should have happened in the first place.
Russell Westbrook.
Don't say that, man. You'll hurt his feelings.
Yeah, Westbitch. Also another variant of that.
Westbrook. Yeah.
I love that one. But anyways, he has been talked about being moved obviously since the end of the year, and then Darvin Ham was hired, and people are like, oh no, they're gonna keep him. And I'm like, oh God, I hope you don't, because that's a mistake. Murr, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to make one point because I haven't really said it, but when Ham continually talked about how they would use Russ, right? A lot of it was Russ was at the coach that was called the intro press conference for Ham, so he's not going to trash him right in front of him. Also, does anyone remember when Frank Vogel was hired? Half of his intro press conference was about Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart. They were traded in a week.
Yeah.
After that happened, so don't take the we need Russ to do this at face value, because we do need Russ to do the things that Ham is saying. He won't, but the only thing I care about when hearing Ham is him talking about his X's and O's and his his philosophy when it comes to coaching. But I it always just annoyed me seeing people say that, he's talking about Russ, we're gonna keep him. Frank Vogel talked about the three young guys that we traded for AD. So let's calm down with that. So sorry, go ahead and continue.
you're good, Nas. You want as well?
Yeah, like to me that I'll go even further. It's when people say, they're good luck with all that stuff with Ham, like Ham and Russ and all that. Like he has to talk about him that way, because just in the worst case scenario that Russ is back, he has to have Russ buy it.
Of course.
It just
What's the upside of him trashing Russ? There is none.
There is no upside to him trashing
Russ. And even more toxic a presence in the locker room. That's what would happen if he stayed. So,
right.
There's
nothing good that could come out of him, like not gassing up Russ. You know what I mean? So, like, just in the likelihood that, or the unlikelihood, whatever, however you want to look at it, like, in the situation that Russ comes back, he has to have Russ actually do what he's telling him to do. And the thing, and a big problem with Russ and Vogel was that Russ never really like respected Vogel. It sounds like he respects him. I don't want to find out whether he'd actually apply what Russ, what Ham tried to do. No. You know what I mean? I don't want to get.
There's
I don't
not
want,
a good team in there.
Yeah, there's not. I do not.
There's not a good team in there.
I do not want to know, but it seems like, you know, like you, it's better to have him actually say that, like, he's bought into the system instead of like him saying, like, you know what? Well, I mean, what do you expect Ham to say? You know what? I don't expect that guy to be here. You know what I mean? Like, what do you expect him to say?
What's he going to say? Call him Westbrook?
Yeah, exactly.
That would have been an all-time moment at this point.
That would have been great. I mean, but still, like, it's just, and plus, it'll kill any more leverage with Russ, knowing that, like, they have to get rid of this guy because the coach hates
him.
And
still, if you have a good relationship with him, you can trade him at the deadline potentially as well.
Correct. So,
at an even, like, easier to trade contract at that point, too. So, like, the off chance he does stay, it's much better to have a cordial relationship with him and potentially have him buy in the 0.001% chance that happens. Ham just needs to keep it all, you know, copacetic until he's traded or, you know, he's not.
Darvin Ham's a really smart dude.
Yes.
Like, that's one thing that like Nas has said multiple times, I'd run through a wall for him, but he's also incredibly smart and he speaks incredibly well.
Yeah, he's not just a motivator. He actually knows what he's talking about. You know what I mean? Like if you talk about, like, he goes through a surface overview of like what his schemes are, and it makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, we do four out, we're gonna have this guy, like, we're gonna have better running habits to get into the lanes. Like, we're gonna do for defense, we're gonna make sure that we don't have to like put out a fire every single time. We don't have to get into the phone. Like, as he says, like, get into the phone booth like a Superman, like, you know, because a lot of the problems that the Lakers had last year was that last minute, like, they would have to, like, in the 24-second possession, like, somebody would have to, like, do something, like, basically superhuman to, like, stop like, the other team from scoring, which they failed to do, or they would try to score themselves, which a lot of times they, you know, they failed at that, too, because they weren't efficient. So, it makes sense what he says, you know, and I respect him already for like his coaching acumen, and he's already a great motivator. So it's a great hire, you know.
The term players coach gets thrown around a lot, I feel, when it comes to newer experienced coaches, like people who are first year coaches, people like that. Remember when Luke was hired, he was a players coach. That was like the main thing that they said about him. But I think when in his press conference, like, Ham was immediately talking about the X's and O's, like, immediately. Right. Like, I don't for Lakers at least, I remember the last time a coach did that, like, intro press conference. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about what I'm going to run. I'm talking about what I want to do, this and
Jack
that.
McKinney?
Byron. No, I'm just kidding. No,
Byron just kept saying foxhole, foxhole, foxhole. Like, he's kept saying that the whole time.
We're going to play tougher.
I was talking to a buddy a while ago. And going over, like, the, you know, after Darvinham was hired, and I was listing off coaches, and I specifically left off Byron, and he's like, don't do that. I know what you're doing. You cannot avoid that era. I was like, oh no, I'm going to avoid that era. That Byron Scott. I still can't believe there are people that still defend him.
Yeah.
Incredible. They are.
Like that.
Say no to drugs, kids.
The Byron era made me, well, but the Byron era plus the EGDN contract made me realize that there will always be a Stan somewhere. As much as somebody might hate, like, there's a good chance that somebody hates you on Twitter, there's also a good chance that somebody stands for you on Twitter. You know what I mean? Yeah, I promise.
Oh, man.
Remember that contract?
That contract was fucking amazing, and then they didn't even use it.
Yeah.
Didn't so even stupid. Use it. Anyways, are we all good on Ham, or should we talk now, Russ?
Just one quick thing on Ham.
Yeah.
Before we move on. I can't believe someone didn't hire him.
I think part of it is people just thought it was Coach Bud.
Well, also part of it is because Jordan was on vacation and wasn't taking any interviews.
God bless Michael for that. God bless Michael.
I love
MJ. Yeah.
But
he's the greatest of all time. I don't care.
Yeah. I'm right. I don't. Yeah. Bro,
build a Jumpman statue in front of Crypto, man. Seriously, please do.
For all I care, just do it. Yeah, just do it.
I completely forgot that that's why we got Ham, because Charlotte just decided not to interview him.
And then Kenny Atkinson was just like, you know what?
How do I do this?
I'm good. Go on, Magic Johnson. I'm not going to be here.
Look, it's a bad look for Kenny Atkinson. Oh,
100%.
Like, you know, it's a bad look for him, but it's also a bad look for Charlotte to be like, what's going on there? You know what I mean? For this guy to, like, be like, nah, you know, I'm good.
Especially Kenny has to be getting, like, Kerr's job or something. Like, I don't get why he pulled that off, but it's still pretty hilarious.
Maybe
it's Charlotte.
But the thing is, it's not like Charlotte's a bad job when you look at the personnel either. You have a legit franchise cornerstone in LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, and you have,
and the money is close, probably.
You have other pieces. You have
assets.
Miles Bridges finally looks like more than just a dumpster fire. And PJ Washington, but he's probably on his way out.
We hope.
They have multiple picks, and I think in the top 20 in the draft.
I think they have 14 and 16. I think that's what they have.
Yeah, they have salaries to move if they so choose, which is why we want to talk about Russ and Charlotte, because honestly, that's my favorite potential trade. Yes, I know we can get into Kyrie. I know we can also get into Beal. I don't know if I think either of those are realistic. So let's go ahead and get into Charlotte. Alan, you want to go over, like, the pieces that would be involved in that?
I would assume that Gordon Hayward would be involved. Because if we talk about immediate salary cap relief, he's their biggest contract. Mm-hmm. I would assume that Mason Plumlee would be included in that also. But it all depends whether they waive Plumlee or not. Because isn't it tomorrow, Nas, where his contract, they have to decide?
I will look it up.
Contract's fully guaranteed or not. I know it's before the draft.
Then tomorrow, it would have to be tomorrow then. Yeah.
So I assume Mason Plumlee would be involved. I would also assume that Kelly Oubre would be involved, because that's, again, one of their bigger contracts. And then if I'm the Lakers, if I'm taking on those types of contracts, I'd want a guy like PJ Washington.
Oh, Mason Plumlee's contract with the Charlotte Hornets will become fully guaranteed at $9.1 million if he's not waived today. And that was by Keith Smith, NBA, and that was 11 hours ago.
And is there like a cutoff, like a deadline for that? Is it like
I'm not sure.
Is his daughter a soccer game or something? Is that what's going on there?
I don't know exactly, but usually he's pretty good with stuff like that. But
I just caught it. I just caught what you said, Alan.
He had time to tweet since the Celtics are eliminated. He missed his daughter.
Raj looks so confused right now. All right,
let me explain this joke to Raj. You know, so the guy tweeted
me in basketball terms.
Yeah, so the guy tweeted that he missed his daughter's soccer game so that he could watch the Celtics playoff game. And I'm like,
oh my god,
yeah, dude. Like I'm always thinking, like, yeah, you're definitely father of the year right there.
I think people overshare online. There's no way I'm putting that out there. Like, there's no way anyone needs to know that.
Exactly. My daughter. Yeah. I'm a swag dad. Go Celtics.
Yeah.
All jokes aside, Keith's really good for cap stuff. But
oh, yeah.
I still can't believe he tweeted that shit.
Yeah. No, but with contracts and cap stuff, he's usually pretty good. So that was 11 hours ago. I mean, usually the NBA goes based off of East Coast time. So then they only have like
2 hours
recording this.
2 hours, yeah.
So I want to ask you guys
three hours.
Oh, I'm still on English time. Sorry, guys. My bad.
Yeah, a little over three hours.
On the Charlotte trade, so do you think we would get all those players back, like in a hypothetical Russ deal? Are you saying it's Russ for Gordon Hayward, Oubre, PJ Mason Washington, Plumlee? Is that like a four for one? Are you throwing THT Nunn in there as well?
We have other plans for him. We have other plans for them.
Well, because like I'm just trying to think about it. Like 6 months ago, there was Russ for John Wall deals. I mean, if it's Russ for like Gordon Hayward, Oubre, PJ Washington,
Gordon Hayward is looked at by a lot of NBA front office.
It's the worst contract to Russ.
He's seen as the worst contract in the league. Yeah,
because he goes into next year. Also, Jordan Brand, Russell Westbrook is a Jordan Brand athlete.
Mason Plumlee's not worth $9 million.
Yeah,
and
Oubre is not worth $13 million or 12.6 or whatever it's not.
Yeah,
no. Those are still NBA players, though, right? Like those
and they would immediately be really good players slash assets for the Lakers.
And if we're
now,
and we're talking
Hayward, you probably not moving from this year.
They saved $12 million by doing that.
Yeah, and Hayward played more games than I thought last year. He played 49 games actually. So
he played good too. He played really well, if I remember correctly. Then he just got hurt.
He always gets hurt now.
That's the problem. But like, if he's healthy, he's actually like a really good fit for the team.
Yeah,
like, when he was healthy, they were like a top four seed in the East.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you have Gordon and make him like a six man. I mean, like,
yes,
that's fantastic. We were spitballing, and we won't get into the full thing that we were talking about because we had Toronto involved and everything. but
just
I mean,
the
hometown of Raj's goat.
Yes. All right. Let's go ahead. If you could pull off a Charlotte deal, and then Masai Ujiri is still obsessed with THT, according to people, we would love that. Because even though we are big fans of THT, this is still a pro THT
podcast.
Yes. If he still wants THT, then he can have him and the fictional character known as Kendrick Nunn.
Who's that?
And a first round pick for Gary Trent Jr. and say Malachi Flynn, just to have player for player, you know.
Flynn hasn't played much at all.
No, Flynn has not. But as a backup point guard, it's a potential interesting piece. Not anything important, just so then you can kind of say
dart throw. It's a dart throw.
Exactly. So a potential Gary Trent Jr. trade for THT, the fictional character of Nunn, and then a first round pick, and then you have the Charlotte trade of Oubre, PJ Washington, Gordon Hayward, and Mason Plumlee. You're looking pretty happy with that. Hayward misses time, we know, but at this point, he's what, your sixth best player.
Yeah, that's how you see like Austin Reeves.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, so then you have then
or Wanyan Gabriel.
Yeah,
or Stanley Johnson.
Yeah. So and then include just for shit talking, John Wall just picked up his contract. Houston is already looking to do something with him. They are not getting a first round pick for him. They are not really getting anything for him. I think they're going to have to buy him out. He's been good, like in the fact that he just went away quietly. But
apparently, I mean, all the
gets bought out, that's John Wall potentially
in Houston as well.
Say what?
All the young kids in Houston really like him. They say he's been a good mentor and stuff, even on the sidelines and stuff.
I mean, it's not surprising. So, I mean,
no, it's not.
Then you have Wall and Reeves and Malachi Flynn as your point guards. You have Gary Trent Jr. And then say Oubre or Hayward at your two, PJ Washington as your starting three, LeBron at four, AD at five. That starting five is interesting with a bench of, like I said, Reeves, Flynn, Oubre, Hayward, Stanley, Plumlee, Wanyan Gabriel.
PJ Tucker, potentially.
Potentially PJ Tucker if he doesn't want to go after a full MLE, which I think someone will give that to him. I know this sounds like a lot, but I mean,
if we had a competent front office, it could absolutely happen.
I agree. And Raj, your question of all these players for one player, we literally just did that for Westbrook last year. So... Mm-hmm. With KCP,
we were foolish. That was a mistake.
Oh, when has Michael Jordan and the Charlotte Hornets shown to be competent?
Sorry, Mitch.
I still stand Mitch Kupchak, but tell me when they've been smart. They gave four in 100
drafting LaMelo Ball. That's the smartest they've ever been.
I guess Miles, Bridges. And then I almost
Miles Garrett could too.
I mean, he could probably play for him too. And then PJ, like, they've drafted well, but other than that, I mean, they didn't even play James Booknight last year.
No. Or my dude from Texas. I forget his name all the time. The big man from Texas.
Kai Jones,
yeah.
So I mean,
Borrego doesn't like young guys, from what
he's gone. Haven't even hired a coach. Which, if we're gonna get down to it, MDA seems to be the front runner for Charlotte. MDA likes Russell Westbrook.
Does
there's a connection. Another name
that's mentioned is Scott Brooks that I've seen on the timeline.
So, Russell Westbrook,
another Westbrook guy.
Yeah.
So I mean.
Yeah.
It looks like the tea leaves are pointing that he is going to go to Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they're like Allen and Nas, you guys can talk about OKC has been interested because apparently Charlotte wants immediate cat relief, which they would kind of get anyways.
And you can still flip Russ if you really want to. I think you could.
But part of it also because they might keep him or they might waive him. It really depends. The thing about it is that like Presti's like really is fond of Russ because of everything that he helped him out with, right? Because Russ gave him his best years, and so this helps out OKC in a couple of ways. Number one, maybe they can help out Russ, right? Number two, because you know, like if they waive him, he gets all his money and Russ can go wherever he wants. I don't even know if anyone
else. Someone would.
100%. Someone would. Yeah, on a minimum. Yeah.
From Philippine Basketball Association, maybe.
No,
but,
there will be a team that wants to sell tickets. Russ still sells tickets for whatever reason.
Hello, Orlando.
San Miguel Bierman.
Los Caliente, the Agua Caliente Clippers. That's what it is. Agua
Caliente. No, but like seriously,
high stocks as well.
So he could waive him or like he could like let his like have one last ride with OKC. That's one other thing.
Sorry, but Shane.
Another thing also is that he could keep like by getting involved. Not only can he absorb Russ's contract, giving Charlotte like immediate cap relief, but also he can get more assets out of this, right? So they could. That's the thing. Like I hope. Charlotte's already wanting to like give up like a first round pick to so that they could get some cap relief right now, right?
Yeah, that 14 it sounds like.
Yeah, like something like that, right? So what I'm hoping is that OKC takes on Russ's contract. We Charlotte gives OKC the number 14, and then and then the Lakers give up like some fake seconds, right? But yeah, knowing like what I'm afraid of is that Pelinka gives up like a first or multiple firsts unprotected.
Yeah,
that's what I'm afraid of because he doesn't
seem think I can stomach like it's not ideal, but I think I can stomach one first. I think I could.
I not for me, it's like he's an expiring. You should be getting an asset back for that. It's like it's just a story thing where it's
I agree.
Yeah.
That's the point where I think that a lot of people they're so focused on the money. It's $47 million. And that's the thing. It is $47 million and it's expiring. Well, expiring. Like it's gone after the year. It's a mega or a supermax being an expiring has never happened. And some team is going to want that because of that.
The Thunder could stretch him.
Wait. John Wall, I was corrected on this. John Wall's contract is also expiring too. He does supermax too, but we're not counting him for practical purposes because it doesn't seem like
he was also crazy injured too. Russ wasn't. It wasn't like that.
Yeah, like Russ is still like a player no matter what. Like John Wall, we don't know, you know. And so whoever
tore the Achilles twice in like 6 months somehow.
Yeah, something like that. We're not counting John Wall here, but and after this year, I don't know when the next time there's going to be a expiring supermax. It's going to be a long, long time. So this is it. This is a historic time. This is the way for teams.
Chris Paul,
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, but they're not supermaxes. Yeah. I think
Chris Paul wasn't he?
No.
Oh, we're not supermax.
Gobert is, I think, but like Gobert still has a couple more years on his contract, right?
And I still think he's going to be seen as someone that they extend,
as a positive player, right? So they need to teams need to take advantage of this. Like if you're like Charlotte, just your only chance to do this, or else you're stuck with these guys and you can't pay Miles Bridges, and Jordan doesn't have money like that. If he can't offload those contracts, guess what? Miles Bridges is gone, for sure, 100%.
Yeah, because Detroit's offering him the max, apparently.
Right.
No, I mean, they'll just by adding, because I already tried it on the trade machine, the one where you can have, not the ESPN,
the real GM.
Yes, whatever.
Trade, something, whatever. Yeah.
It is. Where you can do it for next year. You can make it happen where you add Miles
Bridges.
Mason Plumlee. Add Mason Plumlee. So then they automatically are saving $9 million. So that's positive for them. I don't know their exact cap look.
Isn't it
after that?
$5 million that they're saving?
I'll look it up. I'll look it up exactly again. But yeah, it's they would save money. They would be able to keep Miles, and it just makes a lot of sense for them to do that. And then you can you can then use Russ again to send to OKC, which I question how much OKC actually wants him, because apparently Shea and Giddy do not want him. They have apparently made it known.
They are very smart young kids.
They're not going to play, right? I mean, I think they're going to tank next year, probably again.
They want Wembanyama by all accounts in Europe.
Oh my god. Yeah, that makes sense. That made sense wanting to get him
completely. But that's like the biggest smoke that we've heard in Europe.
It must be nice to be able to tank like so many years and nobody even notices.
They live in Oklahoma City.
It's flagrant what's going on over there. It's flagrant. Yeah, No one cares.
It's ridiculous, man. Like, how many games did they lose in a row last 2 years ago? Like in 2021,
it was like 27 or something.
It was like 27. Yeah. No one even really remembers, right? Like,
what pick do they have this year? Like four or something? No, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second over it.
They beat us twice this year too, I think.
Yeah, thanks Vogel. I appreciate that.
thank you, Vogel and Russ. Thank you.
Yeah, you got out coached by a player development coach.
Yeah. Not good.
Yeah. last year was not fun, man. You know, I make fun of Raj all the time for having hope on that
rewatching.
But honestly, dude,
you are a brave man.
You are a brave man for for having hope in that team, because that team broke my spirit by December. You know,
I stopped watching halfway through the season. I didn't watch a game after that.
Nas almost stopped being a Lakers fan.
No, I stopped. I would have stopped if they hired Doc, for sure. 100%. I'm not even kidding, dude. I would have stopped.
No, that's what I'm saying. You got to the point that if, one more bad move happened, you would have been done completely.
I'm close to it. Yeah, I would be close to it, yeah. But
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but
you're, one of the biggest Laker fans I know. And, yeah, that's how bad last season was.
Yeah, it was bad, man. I was, I'm just, super loyal to this team, too. But, unfortunately, you know.
And there's still one more hurdle to cross. I mean, it's very hard to imagine this team doing anything if number zero is still on the roster.
Yeah, can we just
that's why I never thought he'd be back. Rewatching all these games, there's no way anybody watched all these games and thought he'd be back next year. There's just no chance.
No, there are people that legitimately think that it was just Vogel.
But just watching the games, Russ was awful. It was not spacing. You can put
how many 10-foot bank jump shots does he have to absolutely shatter the backboard with until you realize how bad of a player he is? Seriously.
Yeah. And Alan, you were right. Charlotte would immediately save $10.5 million.
But the thing that I'm concerned about is guys like Jovan, Buha, have been saying
he's been trashing Russ.
Yeah, he's been trashing Russ, and he's saying that while Russ staying, the odds have been increasing. But that was before anything is before yesterday, though. I think the Kyrie.
This is a week ago.
Yeah.
I really have that recorded. That was a week ago, and it still was his thoughts this week, but that was before Kyrie happened, and I think the Kyrie thing galvanized the whole trade aspects of it, because now people started thinking, oh wait, Russ isn't expiring for $47 million. You could do stuff with this. You know what I mean? Nobody really.
And there was that rumor of the whole Russ THT first round pick for Brogdon that just came out earlier today too.
And that's actually not even a rumor. It's offer that was rejected. But if you think, people are focusing on the fact that it was rejected, but that's what you need to get out of this is that they're willing to trade that first round pick. Yeah. That's the thing to get out of that.
The whole Brogdon thing, other teams want Brogdon. So I think that's why they probably rejected it, because there's other offers for Brogdon.
Not only that, cap wise, it's not going to work. It had to be they probably included Turner. The Lakers probably included either a Hield or a Turner with the two. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't just do it with Brogdon alone. You had to add some players too. So that's $57 million worth of salary right there that Indiana has to get close to. And they were not near it, with Brogdon himself. So I think that was they should have, whoever said that, whoever aggregated it, BR or whoever, they should have put that caveat in, this thing, this trade is not legal in itself. The more important thing is, the thing that I did get out of it the most is the fact that they got, the Lakers are willing to trade a first round pick if it's worth it. You know what I'm saying? Before it was you've been hearing that the Lakers are not willing to do that or whatever. They will. It just depends on what the return is.
It also tells me
that
LeBron's future is more secure in LA than what it was even 3 weeks ago. If they're willing to trade that first round pick,
right?
Yeah,
right.
And I think it was the 26th first round pick. If I read that correctly,
I don't think it can be the 26th pick.
We don't have a 26th.
It would have to be
we have a 26th pick. It's just because. It's due to the fact that it's the swap, and you can't trade.
We don't have one to trade, right? Yeah.
So we could trade it in 26 at the draft.
Right.
But swap, is it 2024, 2025? I thought those were the 2 years for the swap.
No.
You can do consecutive, right?
I think you can defer to 25, so then you cannot
trade 26 pick until they decide whether they're deferring.
So they choose the Pelicans choose between 25 and 26 for that swap?
No, 24 and 25. But because the 25 first round pick is still in play, right. You can't trade two.
Right. Okay. But still, I mean, if we're all very adamantly against trading a first to get rid of Russ, I still think, at least in the short term, I think it's still better to not have Russ on this roster than it is to have 100%. Russ and that first round pick. And with LeBron, you have to be looking in the short term. You have to.
So I think that's the cost, though. If you can get those four players, like, that's a dream to me. I don't know if your guys' trade is the exact one, but, you know, flipping out Russ for multiple rotational pieces, because we just don't have the resources to add non-minimum guys, right? We have, like, a TPMLE, Kendrick Nunn we joke about, but, I mean, he's a non-minimum guy. THT, I think, is a non-minimum guy. You want to move him for Gary Tramp, that's fine, but, I mean, like, we just don't have avenues to, like, add non-minimum players. So if you can turn Russ into Hayward, Oubre, Washington, whatever the, you know, machination is, like, that'd be great. I think that should be the goal. You know, Kyrie, whether you trade for Kyrie, that's a different conversation, but I think I would go with the depth. I would like the LeBron AD, and then you can kind of fill a roster out. I think that's the way I would go. So if we can move him to Charlotte, three-way deal with OKC, that'd be my pick. We just can't go into next year again with, like, three players and then, like, eight minimum guys who need minutes. Like, I think that's just a tough way to win.
That's fun.
Oh, my bad. my bad. Do we want to really talk Kyrie?
I still think it's I think we should only talk about it if, like, the Nets are out of the picture. Because if the Nets are out of the picture and he's like, no, I'm actually testing free agency, I'm not going back to Brooklyn, then you're really,
It wouldn't work that way, though. Like, what he would do is he would opt in, and then they would trade him out. That's what it would
be. Right, no, I know. But I'm saying if it's coming out that he does not want to stay in Brooklyn and he wants to leave by a sign-in trade or whatever you want to call it, then that's when it really heats up. Until the Nets aren't, like, until there's, like actually, and it still feels like a leverage play. Negotiation tactic.
Yes,
a leverage play. Yeah,
it's a leverage play, but I look at it this way too. The Lakers better get in on it too, in the sense that, like,
don't get me wrong. If it comes down to Kyrie over Westbrook every single time,
but no. I'm talking about, like, the actual leverage, as in, like, oh, he's just a threat because we know that the Lakers have to trade Russ to get Kyrie, right? And for these teams who want to get rid of these salaries, they have to be involved in this. So if that threat is there and it has teeth in it, then they will actually take that seriously, and they would actually, like, negotiate in good faith when it comes to that. When it comes to, like, trying to get Russ to that offloading contracts, because right now, like, teams aren't budging because they don't think that, like, they think that the Lakers have to give a first for them to, like, for them to absorb it. But now, if they see that Kyrie is possibly willing to go asking to LA, asking out, then they know that the Lakers don't have to give up that first. And now the other teams would have to be like, all right, okay. Like, we'll throw you a more reasonable offer for him.
Yeah, I went and watched a bunch of Kyrie last night. Like, man, do you think that's, like, is that close to the best offensive three in the league? Is it Kyrie, AD, and, like, that's just a... That's basketball nirvana, man. I've been begging for a pull-up jump shooter, and for that guy to be Kyrie would be insane, pairing him with AD. But
I don't think it's close either offensively. It's the best offensive three in the NBA.
Alan, have you heard anything about...
I see you're trying to bait me, and I will take the bait. If that's what you're referring to, Naz, I will take the bait.
I don't know what you're talking about, bro. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I still love you, though. So I may or may not have heard that LeBron and Kyrie have been in contact since the Nets got eliminated.
Where is LeBron right now?
LeBron is in New York City.
Allegedly. So
you know. But obviously, if they have talked, they have not talked about basketball because that breaks the NBA tampering rules. And as we know, no one does that ever anymore. No,
absolutely not.
Well, I'm not saying they've been in contact, but they could have been in contact about, you know, a flat earth.
Or maybe how maybe LeBron wants to be fasting next year too. You know, we'll see. You know, like how he went through it.
They enjoyed the Drake album. Is that what you're saying? They enjoyed the Drake album.
I'm hanging up, man. I'm hanging up, man. quick question, Raj. How did you like that album? Like, be honest.
It was okay. It was different. It's not a rap album. It's a house album. So it's just, it's, sure, yeah, it's a house album. It's different. It's, you know,
I think
that's what I'll say.
Here's my thing, right? I'm a big Drake hater, right? But
we know, yes, I am made aware. I've been made aware.
That being said, though,
until he blocks you, Nas, because that's coming.
Part of his contract.
Apparently. Actually, yeah. Oh, you're friends with that guy? You have to block him. Oh. No. It's like
I don't subscribe to that. No.
I think my thing is that, like,
you're not part of the woke mob, Raj.
My thing.
What have we found ourselves in? What's happening right now? how does spiral to this?
This is Drake and basketball, things that are like kind of intertwined. But anyway, like, no, like my thing is that, like, I think that Drake's album, I think Drake is one of the greatest artists ever. I hate him, but I'm not a hater. I'm a rational hater. Okay. I'm not like stupid enough to say that, like, you know what? He's not great at all. No. Okay. That's like, yeah, no, he's there. Like,
he's a great pop-up.
Unquestionably, he's one of the greatest artists ever, period. Like, this is not debatable, all right?
I agree. I shockingly agree. Okay, continue.
Wow. He's also like the Beatles. He's also like the Beatles, where they are incredibly popular. That does not mean that they are actually very good.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, objectively...
And that was a one-star review right there.
Or in my humble opinion, he's one of the greatest. But, like, it's just, like, his style just doesn't work with house music. Because, like, the way he sings, it's like...
It's...
You don't want to be, like, crying in the club kind of thing. You know what I mean?
He wasn't the right artist to push it, but he's also the biggest artist in the world. So it kind of is, like, a cosign. It's a weird thing. Like, he was not the right person. Maybe he should have just put, like, 1,000 features of people who are actually good at house music. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, he had a few house artists on there that are pretty big. But I mean, it's a throwaway album for him. It's not like a rap album. I don't know how we got too deep into this.
Let's go back to basketball. I'm already sick and tired of that fucking teenage bopper actor.
So to avoid political correctness, I don't care right now. LeBron and Kyrie have talked. Thanks, Nas, for making me spill that information. You know,
a good
right there for you.
Anytime. That's a good time for me to bounce. All right. See how later in a bit. Talk to you guys soon. Thank you guys for tuning in. I got to bounce early, so see y'all later.
See you,
Nas. Nas just did the equivalent of walking into a loaded elevator, farting, and then walking out. That's what he just did right now.
You know what that's called? You know what that's called? It's called the Chamber of Secrets.
Oh my God! All right, have a good night, Nas. Have a good night. Bye, Nas.
At least he said bye. Nelson just dipped. Fucking Nelson. Yeah. All right, back to basketball. Kyrie is probably the name that most people would want. If the Charlotte deal is the one that I like the most, not because they have the best players, but I think it gives them the best potential for, like, assets. Like,
or just depth of guys who can actually stay on NBA depth, court.
As Raj said, of depth earlier, with that move, it's you have more guys than just minimum salary guys. You don't have to try and play out the season with a Stanley Johnson and pray he kind of hits. With a Austin Reaves and pray he hits, with a Wynan Gabriel in the last, what, four games and hope he hits. You know, you don't have to go through that. You don't have to try out DJ Augustine. You don't have to try out Darren Collison. You can, you have guys. And then if they don't work out, hey, $12.6 million for Kelly Oubre is pretty easy to move and just switch assets and see if just a change of scenery works. So,
or just get a second for the future or something. Like even that is net positive.
Exactly. So that's why I like that deal so much. If we're going after another quote unquote star, I'm going after Bradley Beal. That one was the one that was rumored. We haven't really talked about it. Bradley Beal is younger than KC. Kyrie. In my opinion, he's better than Kyrie.
You're not getting Beal with what we have to offer, though, right? In my opinion.
It would have to be like Russ and like two first.
Yeah.
The thing is,
Raj, you're discounting a player power, because if Bradley Beal says to Washington, I'm only going to LA and I'm opting out of this deal, and you'll get nothing, and I'll just go to another team run a 1 year deal or some bullshit like that. Washington's handicapped.
Yeah. That's fair. I think he's taking the money.
I think that is extremely more or less likely than Kyrie. If we're ranking them on a scale of what is most likely to happen, it is probably bottom of the scale of the three options we've talked about so far.
Right. Well, I want to Clay, you went through the depth thing, and I totally agree with you. I think players like Kyrie are the exception, though, to that. Like, I think that, like, if they're health.
My problem is Kyrie doesn't fucking play.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, health permitting, like, I think that's the exception when you go to the stars.
When does health permit for Kyrie?
And it wasn't even health permitting.
That's the thing, though. It was such a situational thing. And I think getting Kyrie is a bet on Darvin Ham. Like, that's why you get a coach like Darvin Ham.
Also, won't Kyrie
I'm so tired of the Kyrie nonsense because, we already know Kyrie wins with LeBron. Yeah, we do. Yes. That was, what, six fucking years ago?
Yeah.
And that would have been also more
titles if Kevin Durant didn't join Golden State.
Okay? Yeah, it would have.
And it also, you have to factor in a multiple leg issues for Kyrie at this point. Yeah. He's also 31, who hasn't played a lot. But dude, I don't think has ever played more than 72.
Kyrie 31.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude's old.
Kyrie was drafted in 2012.
Yeah, at this point, he's
2011.
2011, my bad. 2011, 2011.
Yeah, at this point, he's getting to be older.
So how old was he when he left Duke?
19.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
He's more of a skill-based player, though.
He is a skill-based player, not Raj, but the problem is he's not on the court enough to use it.
Kyrie is 30. He turned 30 in March.
Okay, my bad. So
he was an old freshman at Duke, though.
Yeah, he was an old freshman. So, but then getting back to it again, he is a supremely offensively talented.
Totally he might be agree. One of the most talented offensive players ever.
Yeah,
like, even there's an argument for that.
One of the best handlers ever. Like
one of the finishers ever.
Yeah. Problem is he also has to work supremely hard to get his own shot. This is something that we've been saying since Duke.
Put him in a high pick and roll with Anthony Davis, him getting his own shot becomes
with LeBron sitting it, on yes, on it beca- the top
it
elbow.
Becomes, yeah. It becomes easier. But when has Kyrie ever shown the fucking willingness to ever take a back seat?
When has he ever shown that?
I think there were like a back seat.
Yeah, so there were like 11 games, right? I think Harden, Kyrie, and KD played. And I remember watching one of them, and Kyrie was like on the weak side while Harden and KD run action. That is like hell to defend. Imagine Kyrie where like Malik Monk is on the floor. Imagine Kyrie, not Russ, because Russ is not a spacer, but like those advantageous situations that like Austin Reaves gets, like with Kyrie in those action, like that's an absurd offense. But all those concerns are there, Clay. Like if the health is there, if you bet on Darvin Ham to build the culture that you think he'll build, if LeBron has the culture that he still has at 38, like if you believe in that, then go get Kyrie Irving. But like if not, then go get the depth. Like I think I go back and forth. Honestly, I'm not 100% sure. I probably lean towards the depth, but I think Kyrie's the type of player where you bet on your organization.
Where's Kyrie rate for you?
In point guards in the league right now?
Of just top players in the NBA.
He's top 25, I would still say.
Top 20.
because he's not on the floor enough. For me, he's out of the top 25. That's my thing. You're not, your availability is the best ability. And unfortunately, we know Russ being available all the time this year was a deficit. Well, the problem is then you have
to rely on. Yeah, we would have won more games if he was hurt.
We would have. But with Kyrie, you just, I mean, what did he play this year? 30 something?
He played like half.
You can definitely say that this year was different because he didn't want to get the shot. He might have to get that if he becomes a Laker. I mean, maybe, yeah. Maybe not. I mean, who knows? It's just, I don't know. He would have to opt in and everything, and then you're signing him to an extension. Do you want to pay Kyrie?
The Lakers do.
I know, but the Lakers were willing to pay fucking Russell Westbrook, so I don't give a shit.
Here's the question. Right now, for a team, would you rather have Kyrie or LaMelo Ball? Like, if you want to win a game, season.
Yeah, if you want to win a game, yeah. But the problem is,
you want to build around the team.
Is he going to be? Yeah. Is he going to be on the floor the entire time?
Kyrie or Chris Middleton?
Kyrie to win a game.
Yeah, Kyrie.
Yeah.
Kyrie or Zach LaVine?
Kyrie.
Probably Kyrie.
Kyrie or right now James Harden?
Kyrie.
Kyrie.
Harden hasn't been good for a year.
Kyrie or Brandon Ingram?
Kyrie. To win a game, Kyrie.
I'm not answering that. I'm not answering
I know you too.
I'm looking at a top 25 list right now, so I'm just listing some guys off. So I'm just curious.
If we're talking like a one on five incident.
Yeah, but the problem is that's not how the fucking NBA works. It's a one off.
That's the biggest issue because if you're again loading your roster up to be three max guys and there's eight minimum guys, you have to hope that every single minimum guy hits, and that's never happened. Ever.
It's not gonna happen.
It hasn't.
Not gonna happen.
Even the Lakers team that won it all, they had what? So KCP was on a $10 million contract. Caruso was on a new contract.
JaVale McGee. He was on.
Go back and look at the last, I don't know, 10 championships. The last 10 title-winning teams.
The Warriors.
Tell me which one was just based off of only three players and didn't have surrounding depth.
There is none.
The Cavs, when they won, that was also, again, 6 years ago, Kyrie was younger. He wasn't.
They also had JR and Amon Shumpert and Tristan Thompson.
They had guys that did take a cut, but guys aren't taking cuts like that. Right. You're not the buyout market or the.
To be fair, though,
ring aren't very good.
They got lucky because JR Smith and Shumpert were on team friendly deals when they traded for.
They were, and they traded for Mozgov, right? That was the trade, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They also had
Kevin Love as well. So I mean, I think he had gotten might have gotten hurt.
Dellavedova was on decent money as well.
So again, you have to have contracts because contracts are assets. If you don't have, like we just saw that this year, we couldn't do any improvement because we didn't have any contracts.
Because we have a bad front office, but that's a different.
Yes, but I mean, like the only contracts you had, other than the. THT and Nunn.
Yeah.
And Nunn didn't play, and THT was and still is inconsistent. Yeah. So
because he's a kid.
He's a kid. So I mean, it's just I don't.
And that just goes back to what they signed him to begin with. It stems from little things. A lot of these things. It really does.
It stems from Genie being cheap. Because it never should have been an either or for Alex Caruso and Talen Horton-Tucker. It should have been both.
Agreed. Yeah.
We just saw the story of that the Warriors are this team was going to cost like $300 million
and Joe Lacob just went okay.
Yeah.
They didn't even blink.
They got lucky with like the D'Angelo Russell trade and they were bad for a year, but still like Kuminga and Moody didn't do anything for this championship.
Well, we were bad this year, and we traded our first round pick with no protections.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Shout out to us for that. That's like, if Kyrie gets traded, like, okay, so back to the point, and especially Raj, since Raj is the one that doesn't understand my thinking most of the time. Like, if Kyrie is traded for Russell Westbrook, say it straight up, or even if you have to give up a first round pick, because if you give up two, fuck off. Like, no. Just someone just take a fucking battering or like a wrecking ball to crypto. I don't give a shit at that point. If it's Russ or Kyrie, refer to it for crypts. For the crypts, thank you. I'm fine with that. I think that the margins are going to be so slim, and this front office has not really shown the ability to.
They got lucky in 2019, 2020.
They really did.
Agreed. You're going to rely on guys that have now been.
Danny Green was another one of those guys who got a shit ton of money. Avery Bradley was another one of those guys who was above the minimum.
Exactly.
Like,
he was on
even though he didn't play in the bubble, but he had like what, 4-5 mil that year.
Yeah.
Started every game. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so like, again, it goes back to you need contracts with those three who are also now showing to, like, regardless of what you want to say, if AD is injury prone or not, not always on the floor. LeBron is his, you know, 38 historically. He's amazing. He's not always on the floor now. Kyrie, not always on the floor. Kyrie can't do it by himself.
And then it becomes
down to what, Kyrie and then 8 minimum guys? Like, I love Reeves. I like Stanley. Yeah. I like some of the other guys. But at that point, it doesn't matter. And yeah, you can say when it comes time to the playoffs, are you going to, like, if they're all hurt, you're not making the playoffs.
If you trade for Kyrie and you keep THT and then you still have a TP Emily, right? Even if you trade for Kyrie, that's correct?
I believe so. Yeah. You have your
wait, so that's I thought none was that.
You still have it.
Right. So you have none who's on that, and then you have TP Emily, right? So that's 6 players who are not minimum. That's still going to be 7 players that aren't on a minimum contract that are going to have to make the rest of your roster.
You have to hit on the minimums for sure. Yeah.
And you need Reeves to continue to show what he's shown. You need Stanley to be what he was last year, and you need Gabriel to continue to show what he showed last year too. And that's a lot to expect from 3 guys who are either young or they are still trying to find their footing in the league too.
Go look at the free agent list too of guys that you think are potentially going to take the minimum and are actually going to help. They're not there.
No,
they're not there.
There's potentially someone that you could bet on, but like a guy that comes to mind is like a Derrick Jones Jr. Cause he wasn't good for the last couple of years, but like, can he play in a playoff game?
Injury.
And he's injured.
Yeah.
It wasn't even because he wasn't good. It was just that he was injured.
Yeah. So it just, again, it comes down to, it's the big three. Like, that's fantastic. But then you have nothing unless you're going to, then now you're going to like say, okay, now screw it. THC. We're going to say that we don't think he fits with the big three. Understandable. None is a fictional character at this point. No one fucking understand. No is him. Like, is he real or what? You trade those two then for, like, say the same deal that we said earlier of Gary Trent and like Malachi Flynn. Okay, then you have 6 guys and what? Five guys. Then you have
because Flynn's on a rookie deal. That's minimum.
I mean, what do you have? You have nothing. Like, you know, your bench is solely relied upon UDFAs, busts that like are like have solid roles, but it's just like I get it.
You need like 8 guys for sure that you aren't just like, oh, let's hope they do the same thing as last year and like small sample size sort of stuff. Like, you need 8 guys who you've seen a lot from, and at least you can expect something from them. Yeah. Like,
you're hoping for PJ Tucker to miss out on an MLE or a taxpayer mid-level, you know, or I mean, I guess you could give him that.
I'm fine giving him a TP MLE.
He's also 38.
Yeah, I would not. 38 years old, I don't trust it.
But the only thing is, who are you giving that contract to? Because there is no one on the free agent market.
They're, they're potentially could be, but like, who really, like, it all depends on how
Bobby
it really
Portis will get more money than that.
No, Bobby's getting an MLE from the Bucks or somewhere else. Like, he's really
at the
good
minimum,
for the
Bucks. No, at the minimum, like, that's what he's getting.
Right. Yeah, like, Clay, to your point, like, I agree with you. That's why I probably lean towards the depth. I just think you're taking risks any way you go this offseason. Like, you're taking a risk whether Gordon Hayward can stay healthy, right? You're going to take a risk whether Malcolm Brogdon can stay healthy. So Kyrie's another risk kind of reward play.
I think
that you're
Indiana's kind of completely out of it. I don't think.
Yeah, yes. I think so too.
But like, so, either way though, but you're.
But the thing is how you said Gordon Hayward. Totally get it. At that point, he's your sixth best player.
And Oubre and PJ have been. I think they've been pretty healthy.
Yeah, they have. Mason both. has been healthy. Like, and then if you go and get Gary Trent, he's been healthy. You know, like. You have health, you know, and Gary Trent scored 18 points a game last year. Is he Kyrie? No, not Kyrie. There's only one Kyrie. Like, he's still a top when healthy, which is
when he
not
plays,
all the time,
he's still a top
five point guard. But the problem is then it's him and no one else. That's my thing. And I've always gone back to, you can't have a roster of three stars and minimums. You're not going to win like that. You're just straight up not.
And that's the Miami. It's the same. In 2014.
Yeah. I mean, and that was with LeBron at his apex.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade at his apex and Chris Bosh at his apex. And they still had some solid guys that were on the team.
Like Mario, they took pay cuts.
Udonis was fine. People
took pay cuts.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
But also, then going, so that's the one in the last 10 years. The one. Show me any others.
Yeah.
Yeah. I worry about Kelly Oubre being cut from the same Bazemore cloth of Basketball IQ. Like, that's, I worry about him.
Then trade him. Yes. $12.6 million.
Yes,
trade
but
him.
He's
that's
also
so
more athletic. He's bigger.
No, he's definitely a better player for sure. Yeah. I would do the Charlotte deal more.
Oh,
yeah, for sure.
The Lakers
are
hiring
their
assistant coach Jordan Ott for Davenham's new staff.
Officially.
Ott will
move into a more prominent role on the front of LA's bench. So the front of LA's bench is Handy, Gent, and Ott.
Nice.
Hold on. So are we expecting another bigger name to be the associate head coach? No? So at this point, is it what, Handy? Gent to be the associate
because
head coach?
Lead assistant is also associate
head coach. And what was Ott the number two coming, number three in command for the Nets? Who was it?
David Vanterpool.
Vanterpool, that made sense. Vanterpool's been a guy in the coaching pool for a long time now. So yeah, that's good. Especially if he was running the offense for years now, if you know Nash kept him.
That seems like Kenny
Atkinson.
This guy's really, really good.
Yeah, that's great. So they essentially filled out the front.
The
line.
Front, yeah, the front is filled.
Which is good. So what? So Gent, Ott, and Handy. That's a great three. That's a really good three.
And we're finally doing what other teams do, where we're filling our front of the bench guys with people that people will want to hire in 2 to 3 years.
Yes.
Yep.
Which is smart.
Which we've never done. Which the Lakers have never, ever done apart from 2011.
If you count Jason Kidd.
Brown, Mike Brown's super
Messina,
staff.
Steve Clifford, Quinn Snyder.
That coaching staff is just...
Darvin Ham.
Yeah,
insane that...
Brown was the worst coach on there.
Mike Brown was
the worst coach of all of them.
How Messina never became an NBA head coach is still baffling to me.
I think he was waiting to be the Spurs, and the Spurs never really gave him that opportunity.
And then we chose Luke Walton over him.
Oh, man.
I had such high hopes for Luke.
I don't want to relive that because I was so happy when Luke got hired.
I think we all were.
Everyone was.
Yeah.
I mean, apart from me, because I wanted Messina, but you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I was happy with either hire, but yeah.
I was too. But yeah, that's
how
that's
different
the
could have been, eh?
Yep.
If that's the front line of the our coaching staff, so I would assume they would hire one more developmental guy potentially.
It'll be Rashid.
Well, no, but outside of Rashid and Rimmer.
But I also think Rashid is there to stop Pelinka and Rambis getting involved in coaching meetings.
And I'm totally fine with that.
He's just standing outside the door.
Yeah.
No. He's inside the meeting. He's just waiting for someone to open the door.
He's standing by the door, but inside the meeting. That's what he's doing.
But
if this is it, if this is the front five with Handy, Gent, Ott, Rashid, and Rimmer, that sounds like a really good five. So let's hope we can get Russ out of here so Ham can have a clean slate.
It also makes sense why Jordan Ott's moved on, because they just hired Kokoshkov as well.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And they still have Vantrepool, right?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Or Vantrepool leave.
But even so, I wouldn't be surprised if Ott was supposed to be on Kenny Atkinson's staff. Because we heard about Ott and the Lakers once everything sort of like fell apart properly.
Yeah.
With Charlotte.
The real question is does Ott like Kyrie? And not that that determines if you make the move. That's not what I'm saying.
Maybe that's a good way to transition, though. That could be. It could be a good way to transition Kyrie into this new Darvin Ham offense with a familiar face in there.
Or it's just like, that he's not going to listen to the offense.
That too. So I think either way, it could be a plus. If Ott is the guy who was running the offense.
We'll talk.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. So I don't know. I think, going back to it, the Charlotte one is my favorite just because you have now multiple contracts that are sizable that you can use in other ways. If you can get Kyrie, I get it. Do it. Again, my worry is I don't think you immediately become favorites. I know everyone would say you do, but you have a big three who are constantly hurt. That's
the moves around the margins would have to be perfect.
Yeah,
absolutely perfect. And I don't trust Pelinka enough. Well,
the guys who are already on the active roster need to hit again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like Reeves would have to take a step. Stanley would have to take a step. Winion would have to show that the four games or whatever he played.
He was there for like a month plus, wasn't he?
He was there for a long time, a pretty decent.
I'll find out.
Yeah, he was not ready for. I don't think he's ready for playoff basketball. But the Charlotte deal is kind of the reverse Russ deal, kind of. No, like you kind of get a bunch of rotation players back that you gave up for Russ. So.
By the way, 19 games.
19 games. Yeah.
Okay.
It just felt
he was
like
on he a two way deal. That's fine.
Yeah. So he wasn't a two way. He didn't play a ton. So.
He's on a full contract now, right?
Yeah.
Mason Jones is the only one that's on a two-way, right?
Mm-hmm. I believe it's not guaranteed yet, though, the Gabriel contract. Yeah. They have until some date to guarantee him.
Mason and Mac are the two-ways at the moment, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Wenyan will 100% be at training camp, though.
Yeah. Which I'm fine with. But again, you have to now hope that Wenyan wasn't. I would be too.
Especially if you're keeping Russ or if you're trading for a Kyrie. You have to.
Yeah, I would just rather do the anti-Rust deal.
Yeah.
So
the reverse Rust, yeah.
Yeah, or the reverse Rust, thank you. I think we saw the best, like your former pod or spaces buddy said one time, we saw how the Lakers won with LeBron and AD as the focal points and then great role guys around them. That's how I think you're going to do it. Other than Golden State, I mean, what was the last big Love? I mean, because at that point, Love wasn't really a big three.
Yeah, he was more kind of a relegated role player at that point.
With Milwaukee, it was Giannis, Middleton, and
Drew.
Drew. I forgot about Drew, so I guess we can count him in there.
Drew.
The Golden State, I mean, while Draymond is an incredible defensive player, like offensively
he was really bad for the first like four games. He was horrible. Mm-hmm.
So
he's got a podcast.
I mean, so it just that's always my thing. The third star is great, especially if the third star is on a cost controlled contract and not three essentially super maxes.
Yeah.
You know? that's again the thing of you're not at that point with the three of them, you're already over, I believe, 120 million. And the hard cap is at what? 140
I don't think they'd be hard capped though.
No. I'm just meaning like it's they didn't want to go over what they got this year, you know?
They have to compete in this league. Like, there's no way you can be cheap.
Jeannie Buss clearly does not give a fuck. We saw that.
Jeannie, I hope she learned her lesson. You would hope, like, I really,
but I mean,
don't tweet this out. She might see it, but
I'm not.
Ouch! No,
I mean, who was our third best player in that championship run? KCP, Caruso, maybe Rondo.
Caruso. It was like, KCP or Caruso.
Yeah. Like, and KCP, I mean, KCP, he was great. By the way, free agent KCP.
Potential. Yeah, he's got a player option.
Yeah, but what? He does? No, he doesn't. It's Washington has the option.
They're picking that up for sure.
His contract is partially.
Pretty sure.
It's like 14 mil, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's guaranteed like six of that.
Oh, okay.
It was also good. For them,
yeah, and Tommy Shepard likes him.
Okay, what's that? American dream.
Tommy Shepard could be, you know, classic. So.
They could. I mean, especially if they give Beal the 5-250. Is that what it is? The Supermax?
Yeah.
For Beal, it's like 5-250, something like that.
The Russell Wilson.
The Russell Wilson.
I hate both the Kyrie and the Beal deals. I hate that.
Well, I mean, obviously, if he's a Laker, he's not going to – if he somehow miraculously became a Laker, he wouldn't have that contract. It would be four 160. Does that sound about right?
Or 180.
So, I mean –
it's funny. You guys are the THT guys, but, man, I'd like to see THT on a roster that makes sense. Trust like, me. At least once before he walks out of here. Like,
but if Gary Trent's on the table, I'm taking Gary Trent.
I like Gary Trent too, but I mean, I'm not. I'd like to see THT get somewhat of an opportunity in a way that makes sense.
I would love if THT was on this team next year. I think he'll actually break out next year, to be completely honest, with Darvin Ham instead of Vogel and not next to Rajon Rondo or Avery Bradley half the time or DeAndre Jordan or whatever the hell. He'll look a lot better. But I just don't see it happening.
For this team.
Oh, so hold on, a tiny bit of a side note. There was some like screenshot of an article that said the Lakers were interested in bringing back DeAndre Jordan. Was that at all?
No, that wasn't real.
Okay. No. Thank the Lord.
So say you don't trade for Trent and you have THT and none, and then Wall doesn't get bought out. He's dealt somewhere.
What did you say?
Say THT isn't traded, and
right. Thank you.
And Wall isn't bought out, or he's traded somewhere else, or something like that. And THT is your, but that you still go ahead and you do that Charlotte deal. Okay, so you have say THT as your point guard, and then
Hayward Reeves THT off the bench. That's
I like that too.
That scenario.
Who? AR?
No, none.
Oh, none would.
Yeah,
none would start.
I would hope AR, but even so, if AR and THT are off the bench and you have none and what Hayward, and
Oubre,
you wouldn't start Hayward.
Oubre, PJ.
I think Hayward.
I would prefer him off the bench.
So yeah, okay. You lessen the load for him,
and I would start in that scenario. I think who would like Reeves.
So, like, THT, Reeves, PJ, Braun, AD, that's fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
Or even, like, THT with AD with, like, spacing and running principles. Like, I want to at least see that one.
PJ has been a good shooter. At least a good enough shooter.
Yeah, he's a stretch. Yeah. He can stretch.
Yeah. And he's a guy, if you do trade for, he could, like, if you don't want to start him, he could be your backup five. I think he might be more suited for a backup small ball five role than a three. But I mean, I know it's LeBron in there, so he would essentially be the four in that scenario.
It would just be them essentially. They're both playing. It's just forward at that point.
Yeah, it's just two fours, and they can both play out.
He's a I mean, PJ is a 37.5 3-point shooter for his career on 4.4 attempts. That's
solid.
Yeah, that's enough gravity that you can't help off him.
Yeah, you can't help off him.
And I would just stagger Bron and THT, and you know,
and Hayward.
I think there's just too many, you know, tools in his box for me. Like, to just...
I agree, Raj. I agree. But the problem is I don't think the Lakers do at this point. I think the Lakers wanted him to.
I don't think Davin Hamdo's either.
Really?
But I mean, like, everything's in the context of like Russ and DeAndre Jordan, and you know, all these minutes that he shared with those guys. So like, I just would like to see his skill sets be, you know, be put in the right place, I guess. He was off the ball running, you know, screen and roll with DeAndre Jordan. Like, what did you expect, I guess, in the offense? So I would just like to see it a little bit more, more offense.
No, I agree. Yeah. Alan, what were you saying?
Davin Hum's gone out of his way to mention every single player under contract.
I've heard THT's name mentioned by Ham. He mentioned him at the introduction press conference, and I think he said something about him during the Spectrum podcast. I'm pretty sure. So I've heard his name floated by Darvin. Okay. I'm pretty confident I have heard Darvin talk about Talen a little bit. Maybe not as much as an AR, because I know he loves Reeves. Even before Alan, you mentioned that, I had heard Austin's name a lot come out of Darvin Ham's mouth. So I knew about Darvin. I think he even mentioned Stanley Johnson pretty frequently too, from what I've seen.
Yeah, it's an archetype that Darvin loves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big, bigger
physical
guard
yeah.
slash guys physical.
Yeah.
No, I agree. All right. Does anyone want to add anything before we sign off?
I'm excited to see who the Lakers draft with their bot second round pick. We didn't mention that. The Lakers are very a lot of rumors that the Lakers want a second round pick to buy one. Like it's been rumored for like a month now, like for a long time.
Yeah.
I'd be pretty shocked if they don't.
To the point that Pelinka like openly admitted it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been wanting them to flex money and do that type of shit for years.
So I'm excited to see who they potentially draft, and I'm excited to see who they get in the undrafted because we got Austin Reeves from them from that last year. So
and Joel Ajayi last year.
If he stand out.
I wish he did.
He had a really bad preseason, and he just didn't really thrive in the South Bay Lakers kind of style, because or not even South Bay, just the G League style.
Yeah, he went to Washington shortly after that too.
He's an auxiliary piece. Yeah. He's not a focal point guy, which is why I think he struggled with South Bay.
I agree.
So the scouting department has an incredible track record. They had a really good track record last year. They found Stanley Johnson. They found Wendy and Gabriel as well. Not found, but you know what I mean. They got those guys.
Reclamation projects,
Reclamation projects.
Nas wanted me to remind everyone that we do want to have another kind of sleeper flyer.
And there's a lot. There are a lot of those ones.
Yeah.
More so than when you guys did the last one. There's I'm pretty surprised how many there actually is.
I've got like 9 who play in Europe.
If the Lakers actually had European players.
Well, yeah, thanks, LeBron.
unless their name is like either
Jetty Osman
or Bogey. Boyan, Bogdan, I mean.
Yeah.
Those are the only two Euros that I've seen mentioned around the Lakers at all. Also Bonga, even though we traded the pick away. But still, they're going to go with Bonga. They wanted Bonga.
Yeah. If we could somehow trade none in a second round pick for Jetty Osman yesterday.
Oh, same, Alan.
Garuba. Same. I'm talking about Garuba. That's what I'm talking about. They wanted Garuba.
They really wanted Garuba.
And yet they gave up that fucking pick for no reason.
The scouts wanted Garuba. Let's clarify. Scouts really wanted Garuba.
All right.
And they would have took Garuba as well, which is sad.
Yeah. Alan, did you have any final things you wanted to add?
I'm really excited to sleep, guys.
Fantastic. He's been up for almost 2 days straight. And Raj, did you have anything you want to add?
This was fun. I always get nervous coming on the Under the Bus pod. Never know what type
of craziness we're going to pull.
Am I on mute? But thank you guys for having me.
No problem.
Definitely. Definitely. We love having you on, Raj. All right. I think that'll do it for us. You can find Raj. Bruss, how do you say your last name? I don't think you've ever told me.
Chupalu.
Chupalu. You can find Raj at Raj Chupalu on Twitter. You can find Alan at Alan Ramich. Is it 03 still at the end, right?
Indeed, it is.
Indeed. And then Merge. Is it Merge 1998?
Who cares? But yeah.
And you can find me at Lakers 1949. You guys can talk shit about us in, you know, comments or whatever. I don't care at this point because let's just hope that they don't fuck this up again.
And I just want to sleep.
Yep. Yes. All right. Bye, guys. Thank you for listening.